Welcome to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls. Again, if you are a visitor today, we welcome you and hope you will join us whenever you choose. Pastor Glenn, will you please call us to worship?
Hold on here.
Now.
Lord, we thank you that you have answered us and have become our salvation. The stone which the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us call ourselves to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. We see with our eyes and hear with our ears. We understand with our minds and our hearts rejoice at what you have accomplished. Continue to enlighten us. Restore our faith where we have begun to doubt you. Remind us that you are always with us and in us. The mystery and the evidence of your presence comes again and again. Your forgiveness and grace overwhelm us. Your love and glory amaze us. Come to us anew today and bless us where we are as we join in the prayer you taught your disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time we share our announcements. I want to remind you that the church office remains open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but please call before you come to make sure that we are actually there. If anyone needs a mask, there are more available outside the office door in the Christian Education Building. If you have a code and can get in there, feel free to come in and take what you need. Bill Bentley would like your financial support for the annual Walk for Hunger for Project Bread, which is always held on the first weekend in May, and we're delighted that Bill and Karen are with us today. We finally got them online. That's terrific. But given the circumstances for this walk that he wants us to support, chances are that it will not happen as a regular walk. It'll be a virtual walk, or it may be postponed until later in the year. Given the circumstances, food is desperately needed at this time, and you know that if you've been watching the news at all. You can pay online at projectbread.org, or you can, and you have to go to their website and look for Bill under William John Bentley, okay? Or you may send a check to the church with Bill's name on it, and we will forward it on, or Project. Be sure that you write Project Bread on the memo line. One other announcement, Cheryl Peterson wants to invite all of us to a meeting of the Future of the Church at 7 p.m. this Tuesday evening, April 28th. You may join that meeting using the same credentials that you use today for this worship service. Are there any other announcements that anyone else wants to mention? Unmute yourself and go at it.
Go ahead.
Hello. I put a children's message on Facebook yesterday, and also Kathy's going to have that so she can email it to families this week. So just so you know that.
Hearing no others, then let us have a music. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave.
Yes. I also posted a video for the Sunday school and for my kids' choir. This week, I posted it on Facebook on the church's site, and then I also sent it to Sherilyn, and she some people I guess on Facebook or don't do Facebook. She also sent it out to names that we have a list of Sunday school participants. So it's just a little video with a fun song and just a little message and talking to the kids about, you know, what's going on and what they can do to help. Others feel better about what's happening. So it was just a little fun thing I can send to the kids. And I'm going to do another one in another couple of weeks with another kids song on it and another talking to them just a little bit and saying hi. So that's happening.
Anyone else? Okay, Wayne, music.
Okay, Dave, you can introduce your first hymn. Thanks.
So the first hymn is right out of our hymnals. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. And before we do this, it was brought to our attention that maybe people might want to sing at home, sing some of the hymns. So this first hymn spot is where I'm going to put that. And we are working on trying to get the lyrics out. We tried it this week and it didn't work. So the problem we have is people trying to, we have to put up the music to play, and we have to put up a screen with the lyrics on it for people to see. And there's a lot of steps in there to get that to all work right. So we're still trying to figure that out. If worse comes to worse, Reverend Carroll said when Kathy sends the invitation for Sunday service, she could also send those lyrics for that first hymn out. So if you do want to sing to the hymn, that would be the one to sing to, that first hymn. I'll give the number, I'll have the lyrics printed out, and what verses we're gonna do. And you just be singing in your house. So just like we just said the Lord's Prayer together, you won't hear each other, We can't put all the mics on and hear each other sing, and that doesn't work on this Zoom format either. So you just be singing in your house. So if you like to sing and
listen, I will secretly be recording them for choir auditions. Okay, so you guys may not know, but we're gonna find another choir member to buy that.
Okay, send me those files, Wayne. So that's how it's gonna work. So if you do want to sing, we'll try to get that happening, and we'll get you the lyrics, and we'll let you know what's going on with that, and you can sing in your house, and that would be great if you'd like to participate that way, because hymns are like prayers, and sometimes you feel like you want to participate in that. So I totally understand that. We're working on it. And it's very funny that the opening that you heard with the trumpets or right after the call to worship was called "Come Christians, Join to Sing." So I appropriately picked that, thinking that we were going to get it working this week, but it didn't. So we will get to the point where we can sing. So here is number 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Time we share our celebrations. I want to add to our celebrations today Warner Reinders, who has made a lot of masks, and those are available to you at the church office. I'd like to also celebrate all of the masks that have been made by everyone else. We had some material that was donated as well. So thank you to Warner and to Martha and to Kathy Wade and Michelle Martino for sewing us all of those beautiful masks to help us get through the restrictions of this pandemic. And do any of you, we're going to try doing this today. Any other celebrations? Unmute yourself. I see Kristen trying to get attention.
Hi. So we're all disappointed, obviously, from so many things being canceled. And with our daughter Kim being a senior, it is sad, but she's being great about it. But she has been, she will be inducted into the National Honor Society and also the National Foreign Language Society. Virtually this in May. So that's really exciting for her.
Yes. Great. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Seeing none then, let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and for other people who are in need of prayer, including Carol and Lee, Cher, Chad. Roberta had surgery last Friday and remains in the hospital, but she's doing much better when I spoke to her yesterday and hopes to be home sometime very soon. We also pray for Nikolai, as always, for Tyler, for Jen, for Doris, and for Carol. For Janet, Ed's wife, who was taken to Sturdy and is quite ill with pneumonia. For Wade, for Steve, for Lee, for Brigitta, for Marie, for Shirley. For Matt Trowbridge and his team, he was in touch with me again this morning and said that they lost another resident. He works at an assisted living place out in Wayland. So we pray for Matt and for his whole team as they struggle through this pandemic. Those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Bud, for Jackie, and for Ed, who is back at Life Care as of yesterday. And I did hear from him, and he's doing a lot better as well. We also continue to pray for all of the people who are suffering from the coronavirus and for first responders, all who work in the medical profession, those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working very hard to protect us. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face this difficult situation together. So please join me in a moment of prayer. There will be a time of silence when we will lift up other concerns. Again, you will have to do that at home and not out loud in this service today. Let us pray. Oh God, we offer this morning our thanks for our church. You call us to live our faith out in community, and we are here in community this morning. We thank you for calling us to be a worshiping church, willing and able to voice praise, express concerns, and hear each other's needs. A changing church open to the movement of your Holy Spirit, the gifts of both tradition and innovation, the presence of new faces, and the welcome to others to join our membership. Help us to be a praying church responsive to the needs of others. We pray for your healing presence to be with all of those whom we have mentioned today and all of those whom we lift up into your presence at this time of silence. Gracious God, keep us aware of your call to us and to all disciples of all nations to reveal your teachings of love and justice and mercy. Remind us every day to practice faith through action, to bear witness to your love and justice and compassion through spoken truth and caring deeds. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Scripture lesson for today continues from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 31, and it's later on Easter Day when Jesus had appeared to some of the disciples. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and put my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands.
Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Our next musical piece that we lift up to God and his grace is a very appropriate piece that we're all looking for, Blessed Assurance. And at this point, too, I just want to make a side note about the other hymn that we were hoping to sing earlier in the service. At this spot, I'm going to put an inspirational hymn that's probably just an instrumental, because I think between the scripture reading and the sermon, it's a nice time to sit and reflect and listen to inspirational music and think about the words that we just heard out of the scripture. So this one will not be in a singing spot, but it'll be an inspirational hymn just to sit and reflect. And I think we can all reflect on that scripture reading today. So here's Blessed Assurance.
Riddle for you. What is the one phrase that nobody likes to hear, but everybody likes to say? Now, if I said three little words, this is four words, by the way. If I said three little words, you'd know I meant I love you, and I do. I love you all. And we love to be told that as well. But what's a four-word phrase that nobody likes to hear, but everyone likes to say? It's simply this: I told you so. When someone doesn't listen to us, they ignore our advice and get themselves in trouble, we're very quick to say, I told you so, I told you so. But we absolutely hate it when others are right and they throw those words at us and we think dark thoughts like know-it-all. I don't know about you, but that's how my brain works. In the 1970s, there was a mayor of Fudai, Japan, and he pushed through a plan to build a ridiculously expensive tsunami wall to protect his tiny town from future tsunamis. Everyone thought he was crazy. The wall was incredibly thick and tall. It cost a huge amount of money. It took 12 years to complete. And in those 12 years, the citizens of Fudai complained bitterly about their crazy mayor and his wasteful project. And then in 2011, a 9.0 magnitude earthquake hit off the northeast coast of Japan, creating a massive tsunami wave that was 12 stories high. 20,000 people were killed or went missing in the aftermath. 50,000 people were displaced in the flooding created by that tsunami. There was over $360 billion worth of damage across the affected areas in Japan. But guess what? The tiny town of Fudai was completely untouched by the damage, all because of the crazy mayor's tsunami wall. Unfortunately, the former mayor had passed away many years earlier, and he never got to say, "I told you so." But a small group of citizens from Fudai visited his grave in the weeks following the earthquake to show their respect and gratitude for his foresight. When a disaster is coming, we usually get some warning, and it is wise, and it is the wise person who accepts and acts on that warning. Jesus saw what was going to happen to him in terms of his arrest and crucifixion. He tried to warn his disciples over and over again, but they just never got it. In John's gospel, the evangelist records three full chapters of Jesus telling his disciples what they were to expect in the upcoming days. His first words in chapter 14 are very familiar to us. We read it at most funerals. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am, and there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." But Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" His last words in this long dialogue in John are found in John 16:33. "I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world." Last week we heard about the disciples cowering in a locked room, afraid of what was to come. Suddenly Jesus is in their midst. If ever there was a time for someone to say, "I told you so," this was it. But no, Jesus simply stood among them and said again, "Peace be with you." We first meet Thomas in chapter 14 when he dared to admit to Jesus that he did not get what Jesus was saying at all. "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And this is one incident that got Thomas branded as Thomas the Doubter. Thomas was not with the other disciples when Jesus first confronted them in that locked room. And when they reported the appearance of Jesus to Thomas, he basically said, nope, I don't believe it. I got to touch his hands and his side. I got to feel the wounds. I got to see the scars before I can believe an outrageous tale like that. That was the second incident that branded Thomas as the doubter. It's 8 days later. They're all back in the same room. And this time, Thomas is among them. The doors were shut and Jesus was there and greets them again by saying, "Peace be with you." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the last person who can really judge those disciples. Even Thomas, would you have understood? Would I have understood? I can't claim to understand the mind of God. I'm sure I would have failed Jesus just like everyone else. Jesus, however, did not want his followers out in the world witnessing to something that they had not really experienced for themselves. So he breathes on them and on us the Holy Spirit to give us the foundation we need. We do not simply depend on a story we have heard repeated from long ago. God is forever approaching us in our hearts. Christ takes away our fears and gives us the foundation of the Holy Spirit. And this is important. Christ accepts them, those disciples, and us as we are. Among the disciples whom Christ embraced, think about it, was Peter, who denied him three times as he awaited trial, who would go on to be one of the strongest disciples in spreading the gospel. And one was not present at first, Thomas. He was off by himself. We don't know why or where he was, but he was not there. When the others told him that they had seen the risen Christ, he just would not believe them. After a whole week of struggle, Jesus came and stood in their midst once again. And this time, Thomas was there. And Wayne read you those words. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." But this time, the mere presence of Jesus was enough, even for Thomas. Without testing the physical evidence offered, Thomas answered him by saying, my Lord and my God. This is the first written, if you will, confession of the actual divinity of Jesus Christ, and from the one who had been the doubter. And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." John concludes this chapter by telling us that these stories of Jesus are meant to lead people to faith, and we are among those who believe, even though we have not seen. The aim of this testimony is not to give information, but new life. John 20:31 says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Thomas Jefferson ranks as one of our nation's greatest intellects, and of course he served as president, but not many people know that he rejected the notion of the miracles in the Bible. He's one of the first Unitarians, if you will. When he approached the scriptures, he could not tolerate those passages which dealt with the supernatural. So what did he do? He took a razor blade to those particular parts of the Bible, and he wrote his own Bible. In Thomas Jefferson's Bible, you will find only the moral teachings and the historical events of Jesus' life. There's no virgin birth, there's no healing of Jairus' daughter, no walking on water, and no resurrection. Here is how Jefferson's Bible ends. "There laid they Jesus and rolled a great stone at the mouth of the sepulchre and departed." It's quite easy to rewrite history, to say, "Oh, that didn't happen." But the story remains that the disciples were witnesses to these events. Thomas Jefferson was, in essence, calling the disciples liars, and that they continued throughout the first century for 70 years to propagate those lies. Furthermore, Jefferson's Bible, in my opinion, has been robbed of its power. I'm convinced that the church does not accomplish 2,000 years of life inside the walls of a closed, dark sepulcher. There is no power in that kind of dark place. And rather, the church is alive in the light because Christ is alive. He lives, he lives. I know he lives. May we all share that same belief. Amen.
And now receive the benediction. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you in the presence of his glory, jubilant and above reproach. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, might and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Please stay around if you want to and chat with one another.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hey, it worked.
Well done. It worked, Wayne.
Well, miracles never cease.